It's a window. Hopefully you collected one of those on your way in, and we'll be explaining a bit more about that.
There's some at the end of here actually that I want the choir to miss out. That's not to best to keep the choir happy.
And just recently, you might have, may or may not have read my article in the Parish Magazine, but I was writing about windows and realising that I've spent a lot of time where, like, looking out of the windows. I was known as a bit of a daydreamer, I think, at school. And one particular set of windows captivated me, and that was whether it was going to be the round window, the square window, or the arched window. Yeah, a few people have got that one. If you watch Play School as a child, you'll know the dilemma that happened every time I watched. I was always fascinated by the arch window, and maybe that was a sign that I was going to work in a place that was filled with arch windows, who knows. But I love sitting in here and looking out of the windows and seeing what's going on outside, and what I find is each window gives a different aspect on what's happening. We can kind of get an idea of what the weather's doing, but I don't get a full picture by looking through just one window. I kind of have to look through all of them to get an idea of how things are going and what's happening outside in nature and in the seasons. And I find that in the Bible as well, with the four Gospels that we have, that stories of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, we get, from one Gospel, we get one picture of Jesus, we hear his words, we read about what he did, and we get an idea of God from that. But actually we need to put them all together, I think, to get a fuller picture. If we just had Mark's Gospel, it'd be fantastic, it's nice and short. But it does end rather abruptly, doesn't it? The women went off in fear and trembling and didn't tell anyone about what they saw. Well, it doesn't seem like a very good ending. In fact, so much so that you'll probably find in the Bibles and the chairs there, it kind of says some manuscripts later on have this ending. And it was as if those who were passing on the gospel to others a few hundred years later said, this isn't a very good ending, let's write another one in and pretend it was Mark's. And so it comes in italics in most Bibles. What most experts think is that probably there was another page, but like sometimes books that are well read, they kind of lose the back page sometimes. It gets worn out and perhaps it got torn off and got lost before it was passed on. So we do know from the other Gospels that the women did eventually tell people the good news. They went and they spread the joy. And that's what Gospel means. It means good news. And so, not just this isn't just a window, I'm going to use this as well. So I want to take that word good and explore through three other words that the window, what it means, that good news. What does the good news mean? So I'm going to write the word, I will show you, don't worry, but, it's not see-through. I'm going to write the word good, hopefully this will work alright, in the windows like that, okay? Just like that. And just like that, alright. And from this we get three words that can help us to think a little bit. My 3-point sermon. I don't often go for 3-point sermons, but today, just for you. The first word is at the top. It's the word go. Because the angel says, or the man dressed in white, who probably was an angel, says to the women, go. He doesn't say, oh, stay here and spend all your time in this empty tomb. He says, go and tell people the good news that Jesus has risen. And I'm going to use that word as well later on in the service. If I use it at the end of every 9:30 service, I say, go. Or do you want to say, but do have coffee first before you go. And I don't know where you'll be going to after this service. Maybe you'll be going somewhere where you can share the joy that this day is. Why don't you just talk to the person next to you? Or the person next to you probably knows where you're going next. But perhaps the people around you. Where are you going? Who are you going to when we finished gathering here today? Just have you're allowed to talk in church. It's okay. Tell the person next to you, where are you going to? Are you celebrating Easter with particular people? Are you going travelling a long way? Have a little chat.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, you can carry on sharing together over coffee and biscuits later. Please do. We've all got good news to share. This is good news. What Jesus did, he died and he rose again for us. But sometimes, if we're sharing that good news, it can seem a bit like my second word. Some people are already predicting. Ben is predicting what the words might be. Okay, it's not quite complete. But at the bottom, we've got the word odd. Was that what you predicted?
No!
Right, okay, two words. To say that we believe that Jesus rose from the dead can seem a bit odd. It can even make us seem a little bit like fools, maybe, to coin a phrase for today. But actually, and I read a great post by Nicky Gumbel, the Alpha guy, this morning, and I agree with him. I believe in the resurrection for five reasons. And this is what he said, and I agree with him. First of all, the tomb was empty. It is clear the tomb was empty. There was nothing there. Secondly, Jesus appeared, as Paul said in our first reading, to over 500 people after he had died and risen again, before he ascended. Jesus appeared to all those people. Paul says some of them are still alive. I don't think they'll be alive now, but anyway, he was adamant that they could go and talk to people who had seen Jesus after he had risen. So the empty tomb, the appearance of Jesus. Number three, it was the transformation in those disciples. They were fishermen and just drawn from the street, a ragtag group. But they were the people who began the church. From them, the whole of what we now know as the worldwide church grew. Just 12 guys and the others who were with them. The women obviously were important as well. So the transformation of those disciples, I think, is a key part of it. They wouldn't have stood for something that was a lie, that they knew wasn't true. They wouldn't have died for something they knew wasn't true, would they? And most of them did give their life because of what they believed about Jesus. So the empty tomb, the appearances of Jesus, the transformed disciples, and then the impact on history of this event and of Jesus' life. It has impacted throughout the years. It's impacted the art world. It's impacted our laws and the nations. Yes, sometimes there's been squabbles and it hasn't worked out well, but it has impacted the whole world over the last 2,000 years. And the fifth reason is that the experience of billions and billions of people who will be gathering today to celebrate. Some of them will be cowering in a cubbyhole somewhere so that they're not discovered. Perhaps they live in North Korea or somewhere like that where it's illegal to gather and celebrate today. But there are billions of people across the world who will be celebrating the experience, and we can't deny that experience of knowing Jesus. So those are the five reasons that I agree with Nicky Gumbel, that it might seem a bit odd, but it is certainly true. It might seem a bit foolish, but I was going to get us to buzz about any good April Fool's pranks now. Has anyone been made to look a bit of a fool today? Does anyone dare share? No, maybe not. Okay, well, perhaps for later. We want to share it for everybody. I've got a feeling my time is coming, but anyway. The key, I think, is that just because it seems a bit odd doesn't mean to say it's not good. And living the Christian life and being guided by God in some of the things that we're encouraged to do, some of the things that Jesus did, may seem a bit odd. It may include things like walking into a shop and smiling at people. That can seem a bit odd because most people look like, oh, I just want to get in and get out. And maybe saying, have a good day to the bus driver or the telemarketing salesperson who's phoned you at the most uncomfortable time. You could shout down the phone at them, or you could say, God bless, have a good day. Not bother listening to what they're saying, obviously, but it might seem a bit odd to do that, but actually it's a good thing to do. Maybe listening to someone who we work with who's got a lot of difficulties. Maybe just spending an hour listening to someone, a neighbour perhaps knocking on their door and saying, how are you? And spending an hour listening to them and their troubles rather than finding whatever their latest thing is on Netflix or Amazon Prime or something. It seems a bit odd, but actually it's a good thing to do. And one of the reasons why it's a good thing, my third word, I'm going to move on, I don't want to spend ages on this. It's my third word. Ben's got it already, haven't you?
God.
It's got to be God, hasn't it? We can do that. I can do that two ways as well. We can go around the corner that way, or around there. Look at that. No, we're not going dog. Thank you. Sir. God is the reason.
Sorry, everyone.
God wants to inspire us to do good things. That's why we have his word and we hear his word every Sunday and every day. Some of us, we hear his word and we know that he wants to inspire us to do good things. And he is a good God that we read about in his word. His love and his mercy to us. But also the prompting and encouragement of the Holy Spirit leading us to bear fruit. Paul, who wrote that first reading, also writes about bearing fruit for God. Bearing the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. God tells us to go, yes, but he goes with us by his Spirit and he encourages us. And when we bear that fruit, when we bear good fruit, we become windows of the good news. People see good things through us, and our prayer is that they will find God and his great love when we show the good things that God tells us to go and do. And yes, some of them might seem odd, but they can be good. And so I'd be encouraged to go out today and be fools. After 12 o'clock, it's all right, isn't it? We're not going to be... What's the... I can't remember how it all works anyway. But anyway, we can go out and be, again, Paul writes, be fools for Christ. The cross does seem like foolishness to those that don't get it. But for us, we know it makes all the difference. And so we can go with God. We may look odd, but we will go with good news in our hearts to share with others.